In its context, she even has less going on than you might imagine. She had spent all her wealth, as far as we can tell, and was suffering from an illness that made her feel tired all the time. My wife just had an appendectomy, is that the correct term? Had her appendix out. They opened her up about 2 weeks ago, maybe a little more than 2 weeks ago now, and looked in it and said, wow, that's as, the doctor said, that's as bad as I've ever seen one go. That's as burst as it can get. And so the last couple weeks, she's, you know, Jill wants to help. She wants to do stuff. And she's just tired. She really can't. I was telling Andrew, she's into work yesterday for 2 hours to just fix a couple things when none of the kids were around work at a Bible college. No one was there. But after just 2 hours, she felt wiped out from all that, right? And so this lady was probably in the same boat. I think she was probably someone who was, you know, not only in a bad position socially, but honestly, probably not feeling the best at that moment, too. And she's our hero for today, our heroine, rather. Thank you. Yep. It's interesting. It says she was sick for 12 years. Have you ever been sick for 12 years with something pretty significant? I mean, I've had bad times, too. But that's a long time for an illness, much less something like this. Now, I want you to remember next, this woman actually could not be touched. You have to understand, in her culture, you may remember in the Old Testament, blood was not just the blood of animals and the blood of people was not just, you know, something that keeps your heart going. Blood was symbolic of cleanliness or uncleanliness. And so a woman who had a discharge, a feminine discharge that wouldn't stop, and that isn't something that happens to people, even today, of course, this is actually covered in the Bible. This might sound weird. In Leviticus, there's actually six verses to this in Leviticus 15. I won't make you turn there. Verse 25, if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge shall be continue as though in her menstrual impurity. She is unclean. The bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be like her bed at menstruation, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean, like her uncleanliness at that time. And verse 27, maybe most tellingly, likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. You couldn't touch her. Therefore, she couldn't be in a crowd. She would have been known in her culture. By the way, some rabbis in the ancient world completely did not touch women apart from their wives at all for this very reason, that they would be made unclean. Where is her husband, by the way? It's a little weird today for a young woman not to be married, but in that day, that was weird. Something was wrong. He was not around. He either left or she never married. I mean, she was not in a powerful position in that society. This woman, she was in trouble. Let's just say that. She was in trouble. And furthermore, it says she had suffered, many things at the hands of many physicians. Medicine in the ancient world wasn't super duper scientific. I mean, I'm not saying medicine couldn't do anything, because they could. You know, there's things those guys could do, and ancient medicine had some things that could happen. But as far as internal bleeding that one would rectify with a kind of surgery or extended medication today, this isn't anything that they could fix. You know, beetroot and garlic is not going to fix this up, right? And so she, you know what I'm saying? Like these kinds of, I can fix you if you just drink this stuff, you know. Of course, you know, our boys have autism, and sometimes people had recommended different things like the sour cabbage diet. That's a thing that you take cabbage, and you can get this at the store, actually. You get it. It's like a It's like a cabbage that's sealed in plastic and it's sour. It's you know, it's flavorful. That'll do it. That'll fix them. And we'd get advice like that through the years. And I don't doubt that sometimes he's helped people either. I'm not just being funny, but she spent all that she had on that kind of stuff. She not only had this illness, but she was now poor. And it's surprising because of that, having been disappointed so many times from the doctors of her day, that she believed anyone could help her out. But in verse 27, we see she had heard reports about Jesus, and she had decided that he could do something. Do you think there's any passages about secret agents in the Bible? Austin and I were talking today about a light fixture that was broken, and we jokingly say that the Russians did it. That Vladimir Putin himself had scheduled for that light post out there to be off its moorings because he's throwing democracy into darkness. And we enjoy that kind of stuff, really. And thus there were secret agents working on that. Well, in the Bible, this is a secret agent story. Right here is what you got. This lady, not allowed to be in society. I mean, she couldn't be in a crowd. But she had some thoughts in her head. And I'll just do a little bit of Greek study here today. It's too bad Bruce isn't here. He'd enjoy this. What is actually happening, we get a thought in her head, verse 28, for she said, if I touched his garments. What it's literally saying is, she is saying to herself, if I could touch his clothes, I'd be made well. And it's a little odd. It's like she was saying over and over in her head. Do you know what that's like? She's sitting on her bed. She's like, I know this guy could heal me. All I got to do, I'm going to put on probably a disguise, because someone would stop her from touching this rabbi. I got to put on some kind of disguise. I got to get over there. All I got to do is get close enough to touch this guy, and I'm going to be made well. And she went over in her head, and I think she was planning, like, how to pull this gig off, right? Okay. And next up is an if-then statement. If I touch his garments, I will be made well. This might sound funny, but in Greek, we have, they write if-then statements with special words to tell you how likely the if is going to occur. So sometimes the if is solid. If, and I believe for the sake of argument at least, this is true. Or if, and I'm certain this is true, then the then is true. This if-then statement is what we call a third-class conditional, which is to say, if, and I don't know that the if is ever going to happen, but the then that he's going to heal me, I'm certain of that. So I don't know if I can make my way through this crowd, like someone's going to spot me out, right? There's no sunglasses in the ancient world. Can't put one of those babies on. You have to dress up or something. So I don't know if I'm going to get there, but if I get there, then I'm going to be healed. Interestingly as well, her belief was not that she needed to touch his hand or his head or even his foot, but literally, Matthew and Luke say the tassels on men's garments, Jewish men's garments had tassels on them at the ends of their cloak. And she said, if I could just touch one of those, that would do it. So, by the way, it says she came up behind him, secret agent style. She came up behind him. And in verse 29, it ends. Success. The light post is destroyed. Live on, Vladimir Putin, etc. Verse 29, it ends, and this is interesting, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was well. Have you ever felt that? You've got the flu. I don't mean just a bit of a cold. You've had the flu for a while, and then all of a sudden it goes, and you go from lying down all the time, and you're just, finally, you're kind of up, and the sun is out, and you kind of sense it, and you feel like you can get out and do something. And that's kind of this in your body. You feel it in the deepest part of yourselves. You're feeling okay, and that's how she was feeling. She said it happened like that. It's not like, well, I felt a little bit better the next day or next day. It's just all of a sudden she's well again, and her energy has returned to her, and she is back to normal. What an amazing experience that is, even after the flu. Verse 30, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned around to the crowd and said, "Who's touched me?" And the disciples said, "We're not in a limousine. We're in a..." We're walking through a town in ancient Jerusalem, and people are just crowding around him, right? And they're bumping him and stuff. And there's like, the disciples are like, well, there's like a million people who are bumping you. I mean, are you that serious? Because they're on their way to somewhere else. As I said, an important person, a guy named Jairus, who's a synagogue leader, had just talked to him and asked him to heal his daughter. "Can you come and heal my daughter?" And you can just see the disciples go, "Yes, finally, somebody important wants us to do something important. That is so great." What's he doing? What's he doing? "I don't know who touched you." What? He's asking who touched him. He's like, "I don't know what to say. Teacher, there's a lot of people hereabouts. Can we just keep going? I just know this is going to turn into a lesson. Poor Peter." That's what Peter gets stuck with. Peter's the spokesman of the disciples. And he gets in a bit of a discussion with Jesus. Peter's looking for some legitimacy, you know what I mean? We're getting some religious legitimacy putting down on us right now by a serious guy, right? We heal his daughter. I'm sure he can heal his daughter. We heal his daughter. Bam. We're like a real religion. You know what I'm saying? And then we're stopping, and there's this girl there, I guess. Oh, I know who that is. That's that woman with the flow of blood. Oh, wow. What's going to happen now? You know what I mean? Hey, by the way, let me just say this. You know what? If you're one of Jesus' sunshines, you know what I'm saying? One of Jesus' sunbeams, take some time when these kinds of things happen to you. Because a lot of the things in your faith that if you're going to be a rep of Jesus, you're going to be helping people out when you're on your way to somewhere else. You're driving somewhere, you're busy. This happens to me all the time. I'm just busy and someone wants to talk to me or hang out, or I know they're in need or something, and I just need to do that thing where I clear a moment in my mind and I can be with you to help you with what's going on with your life. Okay? And this isn't just for us adults. This also includes you guys, because your friends are going to have a lot more problems than my friends are. Like, my friends have got stuff figured out, but if you're a teenager, your friends have like real problems, you know? And my friends would kind of talk about maybe something their wife said or whatever. Your younger people, your friends are going to be talking about maybe they're pregnant, or maybe they got someone pregnant, or maybe they're on drugs. Like, your problems are a lot harder than mine. That's what I say to the youth ministers that we're training at the school, is that you guys don't realize it, but you need exegesis and counseling skills even more than the guys who are going to go on to be preaching senior pastors, right? Because you're going to have some hardcore things happen, right? But you're going to be on your way to somewhere else, and you yourself are tired, but you need to carve out a bit of energy for that person to kind of be a blessing for them. Anyhow, finally, after all that, we get the woman's confession. So she sees this has happened to her. She's been caught, but no probs, because she's been caught and she's okay. She doesn't really care what happens to her now. That's what I figure. Luke 8:47, the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, Luke gives a bit more of an explanation. She came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. She is embarrassed, but she doesn't super duper care, because she's okay now. And instead of being mad at her, it's funny how Jesus deals with this. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, Jesus was unclean, by the way, because he had been touched by someone who was unclean and he'd have to wash. But he's just all like, that doesn't matter at all. You know, I'm just so glad this woman has shown her faith. And now she's a hero of the faith. She is a description of what faith is. I'm going to draw a few lessons from this one now. This lady's an example of what faith is. Sometimes people have said to me, Jason, you know, I hear what you're saying about God, but I don't have the faith, okay? I don't have faith to implement into my life or to believe in Christ, you know, or what it happens to be. I want to distinguish something about what faith is, by the way. Faith is not just a feeling. Faith is a willingness to take an action. A man who is hanging off of a cliff sees a net spread out below to catch him. What matters in that moment is not that he feels that the net below can catch him and safely sustain his weight. What matters in that moment is that he needs to jump. Sometimes you may have some decision going on in your life by which you need to exercise faith, and you're not super duper feeling it. If you're at all like me, you've overthought it, okay? You know what, also, just an excursus for you. Sometimes I feel like preachers, when they talk about stuff like this, kind of can do so from a position of where they, in the far past of their life, they had something challenging, and now they've exercised faith and they're perfect. Whereas I really feel like I'm in the middle of something like this right now, where I've had to go in my head, when my problems come to haunt me, which is just before I go to sleep, by the way, my problems come to haunt me, and I have to say, yes, these are challenges, but can I exercise faith to believe that God is going to help, even in the middle of that, when it doesn't look like maybe everything's going to work out super duper well? And that's what I'm doing right now. And that's, for me, this helps to just remind me, let's just try that. Let's just name the things that are going on in my life and say, I believe, God, that you can handle that. I believe, God, that you can handle that. Even if all your stuff isn't figured out. Now, you might, I don't know where you're at in life. You might be at a good place where you don't have a lot of terrible things happening to you or challenging things, and I'm glad for that. Don't feel bad. Sooner or later, something's going to happen in your life, probably. Bring you back to that other part. Okay? This is like that passage in Mark 9. I believe, help my unbelief, the man says to Jesus. I believe, help my unbelief. How would I increase in faith? How would I get to the point where I'm like that woman? I've got some tips related to that and thoughts for you here. I mean, generally speaking, we need to get a better understanding of God. Knowing God is like knowing anybody else. It's a relationship, and all relationships can be cultivated. We can, when we spend time with our friends, we get to know them better, and we get more comfortable with them. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. I'm just standing there waiting at the door and knocking. Sometimes I experience this if I've left my God time for a while, I really haven't spent a lot of time with God, and I go back and all of a sudden I start reading my Bible, or, by the way, I really like this, listening to my Bible, like an audio Bible. Sometimes I just feel too tired to read. I can just turn it on and listen to it. There's a site called BibleGateway.com. It's got an audio Bible if you don't have one. These little devices are amazing for stuff like that. And it's dramatized. It's great. You can read it that way. And I feel like God's like, hey, thanks for opening the door. Hey, here's some things to think about. Right? And I don't know how many times that's happened to me. That's happened to me a million times. But you might be at that point where you haven't opened the door to God in a while, and you just kind of need to do that, spending some time reading the Word, reading in prayer, and just kind of becoming a religious person, all right? Like positively. That what would a religious person do? He'd read the Word, spend some time with God. I think we talk about that kind of thing a lot here. Another way our faith is affected is seeing God work in the past. This woman had come to the conclusion that Jesus could do things, probably because she's seen him heal other people. That's what my imagination says. And when I need to act in faith, I can think back on the times that God has done something else in my life or in the life of someone around me. And that helps me to be someone who believes. Okay, so I can look back on the times that God has enabled me or has blessed me in some way. When we were first married, before we had our kiddos, I was working at my first church, which is a Chinese church in the middle of Chinatown, and got my master's degree, and then had to leave the church. Not because anything bad happened, I won't get into it, but it was just their plan for me. They wanted me to do something else. And so this is right when I graduated in April, and so pretty soon I didn't have a summer job then, and I was just newly married, and my wife and I didn't have any dough. And so I thought, no problem, it's Winnipeg. It's not like I'm in the middle of northern Alberta, some crazy town in the middle of nowhere. I mean, right? So it's Winnipeg. I'm telling you what, I just finished my master's degree in a people-oriented profession. I applied everywhere. I couldn't get a job at the Bay stocking shelves. It was just that time in the economy. Winnipeg is not a bustling place, you know what I'm saying? They did not have a lot of jobs. I think some of the places may have thought, since he's got a master's degree, he's going to go on into his area, he's going to leave our place quickly. That was probably part of it. Should have hidden that, thinking back. Right? I just needed some dough. Not happening. All summer. Do you know what happens to a guy? I don't know if you know this. What happens to a guy when he gets unemployed for a long period of time and he has to provide for people? I felt disoriented at times. I'm not kidding you. I just disoriented after a couple of months. I'd walk around and just, you feel weird because you're not living up to your purpose. And I'm very A-type, purpose-driven, that kind of a person. It was so hard. But you know what? God still provided for us, just not through the normal means of getting a job. It's like he just pulled one rabbit out of another, out of the hat. And the rabbit was made out of money. So hilarious. I can't even remember all the things that happened. We wrote it down. Things like Jill got a short summer internship at the seminary we were from. Jill got her training as a counselor. Oops, sorry. Jill got a counselor. She actually has her master's degree in counseling. And they asked her back to kind of help out a couple of students taking a class, which they never paid for before, but all of a sudden thought, we should pay these people. We should pay them a fair amount of money, because how else are you going to find a master's, grad student to help with stuff? And they did. They just handed her a bunch of dough. I mean, not northern Alberta money, okay? It's not like we're going to buy a $50,000 truck with it. Don't get carried away. But for us, for Winnipeg money, it was a lot of dough. Right? And it just went on and on like that. It was so funny just how it went. Instead of me getting a job and everything going the way I thought it would, it was just money coming from funny places. And eventually I landed a place in the fall. So I can look back on that and say, well, God can help me out because he's done this before. I just need to put this in his hands. This is out of my hands. Do you ever have that feeling your problems are out of your hands? It's more than I can handle. That leads me to my final point about all this today. If I'm to be honest about what the tip this woman gives us, just looking at the actual passage, there really is only one tip, like how to do this, and that's to be at the end of your rope. I don't know how you can pull that off as a way of getting more faith. You're going to have to figure that one out for yourself. But her tip for us is to have no other option. She had no other option. By the way, this is in the Beatitudes. This is found elsewhere in the Bible. The Beatitudes say, blessed are the poor. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's saying, if you don't have any other option but to turn to God, you're blessed, because you're probably going to turn to God. Right? We see this in the Old Testament, those Old Testament kings. I was talking about King Hezekiah the other day, surrounded by the Assyrian army. He didn't have any other choice, and he turns to God, and God just says, okay, yeah, waiting for you to ask for some help. I'll fix that army up, no problem. You just sit back. I got this one, right? And so this woman was blessed. She didn't have any other option. She turns to God. I guess the lesson from that, as I thought about it, was when you are at that point where everything has gone out the window and all your plans have not worked out, you went to all the doctors and they just prescribed like beetroot and garlic and stuff like that, and then it didn't work and it cost you a bunch of dough, instead of turning to despair or nihilism or some desperate option, we turn to God. And that's an act of faith. And we can do that. I think for this section, many people surrounded Jesus when he was on his way somewhere. Many people wanted to talk to him. He's an important guy. He's kind of a superstar in the ancient world. But there's only one person who turned to him in faith. And through her faith, she was healed. I think she was not someone who is amazing and untouchable. And, you know, kind of sometimes we feel that way about Billy Graham. We heard about Billy Graham passing away, that he had a specialness about him, that any of us could be like her, just turning to God in faith. I think I'll close in prayer, and then I think we have another song coming up after that. Father in heaven, we thank you that you look upon us with favor, that you look upon us with grace, and you wish us to know you, to be your friend, even when we have nothing to offer. And we pray, Lord, this week as we're going about our lives, when we have to make decisions involving faith, that you'd give us the grace to believe that you can help. And we pray, Lord, for your mighty power to be at work within us, that you'd change us and bless us, God, for we do need your help. In Jesus' name.
Stand with us as we sing this last song.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know that saved.
Verse 2 here.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus.